Each week, nearly a dozen movies are released theatrically. 40 films a month, more than 400 a year. That's a plethora of cinema. Too much cinema. You'd have to be an addict to see all that. But don't fret. We've got you covered. This is Cinematics.
Hey everyone, what's up? It's another week of Cinematics with new movies. I'm excited. This is episode 239. I'm joined by my betters, Eric Holmes, and a under-the-weather Bruce Perky. Bruce, me and Eric, we're going to do our best to make this short, this show very short. And listeners, we're not going to short you, even though it will be shorter. Sometimes it might short is sweet. Right? Short is sweet, right, Eric? Right? That's not so bad.
I mean, we tried that for the Patreon episode that we just recorded, so... No promises. We'll see what we can do.
Speaking of Patreon episode, very good segue, Eric Holmes. We just covered two films from the year 1986, Alex Cox's Sid and Nancy, and this very interesting movie from Fred Decker called Night of the Creeps. If you want to check it out, please join our Cinematics Patreon universe, $5 catch-all. And here's the thing. For our May bonus episode, we are covering the year 1981. Eric Holmes, it is his responsibility to find two films. Hopefully one of them will be an Eric Holmes personal pick. The second one will be a pick from our Patreon members or Cinematics Facebook group members. Eric, you're going to do a lot of polling for 1981, correct?
Oh, Howling, Knight Riders, Caveman. That wasn't any good, but I remember it. Ms. 45. Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to pick one.
Okay. Well, Eric will start stewing and thinking
Outland.
About it.
Outland's on there.
Oh, well, look, I'm going to be selfish. Eric, you need to put Outland is when you poll our Cinematics Facebook group members, and I'll put it up for our Patreon members as well. Please put Outland right at the top of the list. The fix is in because I still have not seen Outland.
What? Bruce, High Noon in Outland. Space? You haven't seen High Noon in Space?
I know. Very good. In Bruce Berkey, High Noon in Space, Outland. I remember there used to be a bookstore. Oh, maybe I'm predating. I don't know about you.
Frozen
Eric
with my words.
You broke the internet.
He's like, it's what? Wait,
can you see me? Can you see me right now or not?
You know, do you think he's still talking? Do you think he knows?
Can you hear me? Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes. We can hear you now.
Let me see. Sorry, guys. I apologize. High Noon in Space. So I remember I was actually at a B. Dalton bookseller in the mall when I saw a book on Outland. And I thought to myself, yeah, I can't wait. Look, it's a Sean Connery movie. It's out in space. I've been meaning to see that over 40 plus years since 1981. So Bruce, are you excited about Outland? If Outland is one of the two, would you be excited to cover that?
I would be kind of excited. It's been so long since I've seen it. I would be interested to see how that plays now. Because
hey, Greg,
it was a weird one.
Greg, you know what came out in 1981?
What?
A little movie starring John Travolta called Blowout.
A Blowout. Never heard of it.
Who's going to have fun on that episode? Bruce, when you do that, these are the top movies and these are the movies that you could be watching. You could probably give three for each top 10 movie.
Yeah. 1981. Very good, Eric Holmes. That was a very, very great year. We'll see what Eric Holmes and our Cinematics community comes up with for our bonus episode of 1981. Now let's get to this episode, episode 239. Movies covered include, these are movies coming out either in theaters or on digital Friday, April 26th, they are Infested, Breathe, Humane, Dancing Village, The Curse Begins. So these are the four movies we are covering. Eric Holmes, how last week, some good stuff that you've seen, you've done some interviews as well that we're going to release on our second episode. Can you tell us some of these interviews you've done and what movies are they talking about?
Oh, goodness. I don't have the interview. Well, I did an interview for Breathe with the director of Breathe. That one was pretty good. We'll talk about the movie as well. And I also just did an interview the other day. Yeah, it was like a couple of days ago for Dancing Village, The Curse Begins, which we'll talk about. I'll just talk about it now. The Dancing Village, The Curse Begins is a prequel to another movie that I don't have in front of me. But yeah.
It's a prequel to Kiki Ni Di Despa Pinati.
It's like KKN or
KKNDI Dessa Penati.
Yeah. I haven't got to watch it yet, but I, based on how good this one is, probably be watching that one as well.
All right. Well, Spoiler alert.
I like the Dancing Village a lot.
Okay. So well, look, in this horror thriller, a shaman instructs Mila to return a mystical bracelet, the Kawaturi, to the Dancing Village, a remote site on the easternmost tip of Java Island, joined by her cousin Yuda. And his friends, Mila and her crew, arrive on the island only to discover that the village elder has passed away and that the new guardian, Mubba Buyat, isn't present. A lot of adventure happens. Eric, what did you like about this movie, which comes out in theaters April 26th? Again, Dancing Village, The Curse Begins. Shed some light.
Well, first of all, the first thing that struck me was a lot of just the look of the movie reminded me a lot of The Long Walk. Now, let me be clear, Long Walk's completely different movie than this, but they had kind of a same kind of patina to them. This one also, it has a bunch of creepy moments, but if there's a jump scare in this, I couldn't remember it because it relies more on kind of dread, I guess. You know how you see like certain horror movies, they kind of lead up to the jump scare, and the really good ones just never deliver on the jump scare. So you're always kind of like, well, what? I don't know what's going to happen. And then it'll go off to the next scene, and then you're just kind of left with that for the rest of the movie. It does a lot of that. The main story, I guess, is that they open with this dancing ritual. It's a bunch of women from the village, and they go into like this kind of coma sort of thing. Their eyes turn white, and they just start dancing. And this like draws out the demon that they're able to capture the demon or satiate it for a certain amount of time. Early on, they do a thing basically tricking the demon, and then they get this bracelet thing, and they just take the bracelet out of the village, and now the demon's not able to get back there anymore. One of the characters somehow finds the bracelet and thinks, oh, the demon wants this, I'll go give it to him so they'll leave me alone. And that was a bad thing to do. It's kind of a demon story, ghost story sort of thing. Definitely a horror movie. Definitely folk horror. This is a really good one. It's just really creepy. So one of the earlier dancers is, she's pretty young, but she's the mother of the main character that we follow through the rest of the movie. And what they end up doing with their relationship is just, I'll just say it's really good. I don't want to, it would be a spoiler to say much more than that. This was just a really, really great version of this kind of movie. And this is the kind of movie that I normally don't really gravitate towards, but this was just, yeah, they nailed it.
Eric, let me just butt in right now. Sorry. I'm looking at Rotten Tomatoes. There is a critic. I mean, I don't mean that as a critique. Avi Offer, New York City movie guru. He said that it's creepy and atmospheric, like you were saying, it's atmospheric. Problem is, he cited it as overlong, repetitive, and low on scares. What is the flip side to that? Did you feel that it was overlong or repetitive?
If he's looking for jump scares, then they're absolutely right. As far as like creepiness, that this is one of those movies, it goes more for tone and goes more for atmosphere, dread, that sort of thing. If you're looking for oh, it's just a cat, or oh, the window open, like it doesn't have that. It does these things where like in the interview, I point the with Kimo Stambul, there's a scene where a guy's like trying to light like one of those lamps, like those kerosene lamps, and he's sitting there, and in the background you see this thing come out of the woods and just kind of start getting closer and closer to him. And the guy doesn't see this at all. We see it, you know, it's a bomb under the table sort of thing. And it gets right there just as he gets the kerosene lamp turned on. Once the kerosene lamp turns on, the thing just disappears, like right in front of you. So it's got
Excellent.
like stuff like that where it's like you see a character doing something, but there's something else going on in the background that the audience is aware of that the characters are not. It's got a lot of stuff like that, which
Very
I
cool.
really enjoyed that. But like, yeah, if they're looking for jump scares, this is not the movie because I couldn't think of one that was in there. But there was a bunch of scenes like that were really creative.
Another critic, Mike McGranahan from Alseat, was saying that it's high quality horror. It's intelligent, character-based, and creepy. Would you agree with that? A character-based, intelligent film, would you say
Yes,
that?
I don't know about, I mean, definitely like the scenes that were set up were really clever and well done. But like when you say intelligent, that seems kind of a little hoity-toity, but I'm not saying he's wrong. He's probably right, but it's just I get a different thing in my head when I hear people say
Okay,
that.
Eric, let me tell you something. I'm very intelligent. Am I being Bruce? Bruce, am I being hoity-toity
Not
about
enough of
being
us are
intelligent?
that intelligent. Bruce may be a little more than the
Hoity-toity.
rest of us, but that's not a high. We don't set a high bar, Greg.
We do not. You and I, yeah, Bruce is intelligent. You and me, a whole different story on that. Okay, let's be honest. Okay, no, all kidding aside. No, I'm not going to throw Eric under the bus. I'm not the one who's intelligent here. Bruce and Eric are. But anyways, here's the thing. The prequel, which is to the Dancing Village, The Curse Begins, which is Kiki KKK DI Desa Penari, highest grossing Indonesian film in history when it came out in 2022. Now, this film, Dancing Village, The Curse Begins, it is, quote, the first film made for IMAX movie ever produced in Southeast Asia. And in 2024, it will be one of the only five films made for IMAX productions worldwide. So to Eric's point, this is, you constructed that scene with the thing in the background. I'm sure it's going to look really good in the big screen. Should people watch it? What is your final rating and final thoughts on this, Eric?
Imagine how great it would be to watch The Long Walk in IMAX. That's kind of what you would get here with Dancing Village. And the fact that this is a prequel done by a completely different filmmaker from the original, that shouldn't be this good, but it is.
Okay, what is your rating? Great, great job, Eric, on this. I think Bruce and I, if we have some time, we need to watch this movie. I'm really excited for
I'm
Dancing Village to
going
Crystal Gaines.
four and a half now. This could probably bump up to a five
Okay.
on a rewatch.
My bad and Bruce's bad because we didn't, he and I didn't watch too many films on the main films. This looks
Oh,
like the movie that we should have seen, Bruce. Well, yes.
I talked about this with the director too. There's a bunch of like kind of CGI effects in this, but they're not like in your face CGI effects. There's a bunch of a there's a and you'll know this when it, if you'll watch the movie. There's a bunch of like shots that it's clearly a CGI shot. I just can't see where the seams are in it.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. It's like I can tell this is not real. I can tell they did this in a computer. I just can't figure out how they pulled it off because I'm not seeing the
All the seams that with the little. All right, 4.5 stars from Eric Holmes for
I
Dancing
might just have to
Village.
go five on this one.
The well, the pendulum swing. Where are you going to say five? You can say
I'll
five.
go four and a half, but
Four and a
I want to
half.
give this room to grow because
Room.
this would definitely go up on a rewatch.
Too many women have told me that they want to actually wait on me and what they needed me to grow in many ways, Bruce. I don't know if that's too, Bruce. Is that too personal? I don't know. Getting too personal for the cinematics podcast here. Okay, Bruce, you're going to get another couple minutes of respite because I'm going to talk about a movie called Humaine, which, by the way, Greg Sposabowski is not. The movie hits theaters April 26th. Humaine, wow, from IFC Films. It's takes place in a single day. Peter Gallagher, you might know him from The OC or from The Underneath. He plays this patriarch. He is a very revered broadcaster, very rich, lives in a beautiful, old, well-kept mansion. He brings in his kids for one really interesting meal. And then with the first 10, 15 minutes, you get to learn a little bit about the kids, who they are. Each of them are troubled. Jay Baruchel plays this sort of Fox News right-winger guy. You know, he has his own set of opinions. And then there's also his sister, one of his sisters is very sort of a pharma executive, and she's very powerful and also not very beloved. There's another sister who is a struggling actress, and there is an adopted sibling who is sort of the black sheep of the family, and he is a drug addict. So these kids congregate for their father's, so for a pretty nice dinner with the father and their stepmother, because the father tells the kids, well, I have enlisted your mother, your stepmother, and myself. They've enlisted themselves. And what is this enlistment curtail? What does that mean? They're living in a society where people are getting culled. 20% of the population must be eliminated because of the lack of resources on the earth. And the catch is his initial thought of actually him and his wife just sacrificing themselves for the better of the family. It sort of goes south. And what happens is Humaine's main plot line has one of the four children must sacrifice themselves. If not, things will get really bad. Enrico Colantoni, he plays the head of this sort of, they're called docs, and I forgot what they stand for, but docs, they're just sort of the door-to-door people they go door-to-door to collect the cadavers, the corpses, or actually kill people with these injections and cull the population. So Enrico Colantoni, he's very good in this movie. Jay Baruchel, whom we loved last year in Blackberry, is very, very good. It's directed by Caitlin Cronenberg, the daughter and one of the siblings of one of the children of David Cronenberg. And you're thinking, is it going to be gross or surreal, like maybe Brandon Cronenberg stuff? And no, it's not, but it's still violent. It gets really violent in the third act. Overall, Humaine is a sort of a moral drama with black comedy elements, and I really enjoyed it. I overall enjoyed this movie, which hits theaters April 26 via IFC Films. Great performances all around, and I love the way the third act wrapped. I was the only one who was able to get the screener link, and I wish they actually shared the wealth because this would have been a really cool movie for all three of us to talk about. But my overall rating for Humaine is 4 stars. I'm surprised Eric Holmes, you didn't put 4 stars before I started speaking about Humaine. So that is it.
My hands cramped up. I couldn't get to it fast enough.
You couldn't get to Greg's predictable ratings, but Humaine, 4 stars again, Friday, April 26th. Now it's Bruce's turn. for a movie called Infested. That film is not going in theaters. It is streaming on Shudder Friday, April 26. Bruce, what do you got for us?
I'll let you chime in if you have some of the information as far as the actors. I know you do. Directed by Sebastian Vanacek, I guess, if I'm saying the name right. Well, okay, if I were to give the log line of this movie or to give it like a selling point, I would say like, this is not what it is, but I could see a executive saying like, well, you take Attack the Block and you take Arachnophobia and you stick them together and you get a movie. Well, that's kind of what's going on here. Basically, it starts out in our main character, Caleb. He is out trying to buy, if I remember correctly, he's trying to buy earrings for his girl. Or not his girl. He's trying to buy them for the mom, like kind of the mom of the house, the housing complex that they live in. They live in one of these, for whatever reason we were talking before this, Paris seems to be full of these low-income housing projects, apparently. I don't know what's up with that. It's something I don't know about the society, but
And they're
apparently it's
really
a
big.
thing.
They're just
Huge.
high rises. Yeah.
Yeah, they're huge high rises with weird, like it looks like almost like a, I don't know, Soviet bloc era construction practices and style to them. Anyway, he's going to this to buy some earrings for this woman that's kind of been the de facto mom of this big complex. And while he's there, he wants the good stuff. He goes, no, I know you have good stuff in back. Come on, let me in back. Let me get the good stuff. And he goes in the back. And while he's back there, he sees the guy who runs the shop has, a la Gremlins, has all kinds of exotic animals from all over the world. One of them is this spider. In the very opening sequence, pre-title sequence, we saw people catching this spider out in, I forget where it was, Dubai or Saudi Arabia or something.
Right.
And it seemed to be very vicious and possibly venomous. And he's just got it in a little Tupperware container. And he's like, yeah, give me this and the earrings. That's great. He takes it back to his room. He lives with his sister. He has a whole bunch of exotic animals in his room. It's the thing. He loves like, he has scorpions and snakes and all kinds of stuff. And
Frogs, yeah.
yeah, he kind of has a side job of selling like Nikes and stuff out of a storage container in the basement of this place. You meet all the different people as he goes up to his room.
He's a good kid.
Yeah, good kid, but he's on the edges of the law. But I mean, everyone there is probably on the edges of the law because they have to do what they have to do to survive. And they do a really good job. So I think I'll start off right off the bat. This is one of those movies that does a really good job of setting all of the pieces in place for you as you walk into the building. You meet the lady who cleans the building. You get to see, oh, there's water dripping on some of his shoe supplies. There's the lights have a timer you got to turn to get the lights go on in this hallway, and it only lasts for so long. And oh, it doesn't work so great. Little stuff like that all the way through. It's there for later in the movie, but it's smart filmmaking. Because it's giving you all of the different elements that are going to come into play as the movie goes on.
His sister is actually tearing down their house, but she's kind of renovating it with the tiles. So first time you're seeing why you're thinking, why is she tearing down their apartment? What is she doing? And those gaps will be filled as well. And as she's tearing it down, you realize that they're not exactly they may love each other, but they're not a really good partnership as siblings.
And like a good horror slash disaster slash survival movie, you want to meet all the different characters that are going to come into play as the movie goes on. They do a great job of doing that, give them each person a little bit of character, so that very quickly, because this movie doesn't take a long time to get to stuff. I would say it probably takes 15 minutes before, uh-oh, his spider got out. No surprise, the spider
Right,
gets out.
right,
And
right.
then the rest of the movie is dealing with that spider or maybe a lot of spiders. And I will just say that there is an escalation of the situation. And from that point on, it's just to me, and I'll hear you saw it too, right, Greg? I don't know if
So
Eric saw it,
no.
but it's just, to me, it was a really solid horror creature thriller. And even though it does have CGI elements, I think they're done tastefully and effectively. There is some practical, there's a fair amount of CGI to do this many spiders, but it's done in a way where it's not cartoonish as far as I'm thinking. And even though it verges to a little bit unrealistic, it does explain it a little bit, and it gives you some really nice tense set pieces. And I think overall this is very satisfying for what this movie is aiming to hit.
I don't know if you agree with me on this, Bruce. This movie also has a sort of a subtle, not subtle theme, an underlying theme about class struggle within the building.
It does.
Also, higher authority, maybe police, possible brutality and violence. So there's sort of a class system struggle situation going on. I appreciated that it was interwoven within the survival drama, and it didn't, maybe you disagree. I didn't feel like I was beaten over the head by it.
No, I don't think so. And I don't think you've ever seen this movie, but a really, really well-loved, probably one of the best found footage movies ever made called Rec, REC. It's a Spanish movie.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Has an element, like that as well, where to me, the element you're talking about is just saying like, this is the state of their lives. But in the plot of the movie, it acts like another obstacle, basically. One obstacle might be a hallway. I'm not going to say what happens in a hallway, but there's a hallway sequence that's fantastic. You know, one obstacle might be a hallway, one might be electricity, one might be the police.
And maybe I'm overshooting myself, Bruce, on this, but it also has that underlying thing about are you going to care? Are you going to really care for your neighbor, or are you just going to leave? And it's one of these things where Bruce was saying about escalation. We're not going to give too much away about spiders. If you have arachnophobia as a part of your vocabulary, if you do not like spiders, do not want to see them in a horror situation, stay away. If you are also susceptible regarding dogs, I'm thinking maybe stay away as well, but it's a scary movie. There are, Bruce, were there, I think the jump scares, I'm not very good like Eric when it comes to what is a jump scare or not. I didn't feel like I was cheated for the scares. There's a section
No,
regarding,
I don't think so.
there's a shower sequence or like a, with a woman and guy with and it was a closed off sequence. I was scared bleepless on this and
See, the way I look at that, and you tell me what you think. See, if it's, you know how there's a moment where it's setting you up for a jump scare, but then it does what Eric said, which is the cat jumps out or the window flies open. You're like, oh, okay. And then usually how that works is that happens. And then the person turns around and the real thing's there, right? This
yeah.
is more like it's setting you up for an expectation that something's going to happen with the spiders, and then something happens with the spiders. So I mean, that's just paying it off, really, as far as I'm concerned. And I think that's the giveaway on this kind of movie is that if you go see a movie, it's about a bunch of spiders and people having to deal with them, and they may or may not be, you know, super dangerous or whatever. This movie does that. It gives you what you came and you paid for, I think. That's what I would say about this movie.
And guilty pleasure survival dramas will have a body count, and you will watch possibly people dying. And sometimes lesser movies, guilty pleasures, you really don't care about the characters too much. What Bruce was saying about the setups, it has a really good setup with all the characters. You actually, even if it's for a couple of minutes for each character, you know who they are. They're played by really good actors. And whenever they meet their respective fates, I think you're actually saying, oh, well, that sucked. Or so I really like the writing. The acting, I thought so many elements of this movie was of Infested was high level. I was surprised at how much I really enjoy this movie. Bruce, final thoughts and your rating on Infested.
I don't have too much more to say. I think if you're going for a creature feature, especially a spider creature feature, and it's kind of like shark ones and all those kind of movies where there's like 100 of them that are all terrible, and every so often there's one like a shark one like Crawl, or not alligator one like Crawl, I mean, or pick a good shark one recently. I can't remember off the top of my head, but
Yeah,
every so often
Black
you get
Demon.
a yeah, well, no, Black
No,
Demon.
no one else agrees with me, but I'll throw
I
that
like that. I like Black Demon.
out
No, but
there. But
anyways,
every so
go ahead.
often you get a good one. I feel like if you've been looking for one that's solid and good, I think this one is one of those. And it's time well spent, I think.
Yes. And what is
Oh,
your rating?
rating. You know, I was hovering around 4, but I think I'm gonna go 4.5. I think this is a really good movie.
Bruce, 4.5 stars for me. It's a really, really good movie. And we also have to mention, as far as double features go, Jordy is one of the friends of Caleb. Caleb's played by Theo Christine. We also have to mention Lisa Nyarko plays Manon, his sister. But Jordy is Caleb's former best friend. He's played by this actor named Finnegan Oldfield. And Finnegan Oldfield starred several years ago in a movie that all three of us, I believe Eric loved it as well, called Gagarin. And Gagarin, totally different movie in a sense, but they're both set. Both of these movies are set in an apartment building and both deal with actually a fantastical element. So I don't know if Bruce agrees with me, but if you're looking for French set films on buildings, tenement buildings, high rises with fantastical elements, I don't know, Gagarin and this movie and Infested might be a good weird double feature. So my final rating on Infested, like Bruce Berkey, 4.5 stars. Infested.
Quick question. So the director of Infested, Sebastian Vanacek, I think, or Vanacek, it says his next movie is Untitled Evil Dead spinoff. Is this good, or is this good news, or is this a waste of talent,
I think
or
it's
what's kind of your thoughts
great
on that?
question. Bruce, what do you think?
I would say the Evil Dead series so far, all of them, the series and the movies, have been all really solid and have seemed to be pretty good proving grounds for up and coming directors, including Sam Raimi. I say it's good.
I'd say it's a brilliant choice because I think they probably saw Infested and they're thinking, this guy is a freaking talent. I mean, I think we're on board with this, right? So he's a co-writer. He's a co-wrote this movie Infested with Florent Bernard, and he directed the movie. Sebastian Vanacek, or Vanacek, I don't know, Eric, how to pronounce it.
Didn't
Huge
talk to him,
talent.
I don't know.
Huge talent. Eric, you haven't had the chance last week. You've been reviewing so many, watching so many movies. I think this is in your box as far as screeners go. If you ever have the time, maybe do a rewind because I think, Bruce, you agree? I think this is a movie that Eric will go chef's kiss on.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is such a, if you like, really, solid action, thrillery, monstery kind of movies, this one's really lean and mean,
Yes.
All right.
All right. All right. So Eric, check your Gmail and it'll be there for you because I know you've done so many movies over the last week. One of those movies is Breathe. What can you tell us about this new movie, Breathe, which comes out specifically on Friday in theaters, April 26th, and as well as digital. It stars Mila Jovovich, Jennifer Hudson. I forgot how to pronounce her name.
Oh,
Kwavanse.
Kvenchane Wallace,
Thank
Sam
you.
Worthington, Common. Those are the main cast, I guess.
Thank you, Eric. Tell us about this movie. Should we watch it?
It's hard to say. So this is in the future. The atmosphere is, global warming and climate change and everything has gone up to the nth degree, to the point where oxygen is scarce and you cannot live out in the atmosphere without dying because you don't get oxygen. So everyone and everyone's inside buildings. They have like these oxygen generator things, and it's definitely post-apocalyptic. It's Jennifer Hudson, her husband, played by Common, which, by the way, Common is great in this. He's not in it for very long, but apparently I've been sleeping on Common because he's probably one of the best things in this. Jennifer Hudson and Common are living in this area with their daughter Zora, played by Kvenchane Wallace. Now, keep in mind, I saw this like almost a month ago at this point, so I'm trying to piece it together best I can. But Common goes out to do something. I think he's got to go grab something or do whatever. But either way, Jennifer Hudson and Kvenchane are, when's dad coming back? I don't know. When's he coming back? Don't know. Bunch of time passes. They assume he's dead, but they're not quite sure. Meanwhile, a couple people show up is Mila Jovovich and Sam Worthington. Raul Castillo, I think, is the third person. They show up to the place that they're at and they're like, hey, we have this, there's this group of people that we're with. We know that your husband created this device that produces oxygen, some sort of technology. And we just want to take a look at it because we think we can improve upon it and then we'll leave. And then they're like, nope. You're not getting in. And they're like, yeah, we are. So then it's kind of Mila Jovovich and Sam Worthington trying to get in while Jennifer Hudson and Kvenchane Wallace are trying to keep them out. I think the thing people are going to have the biggest problem with is, and stuff like Walking Dead does this, when you're in a post-apocalyptic world, people are mean to each other for no reason. It's like, hey, we want to come in and look at this oxygen thing so we can build one. The proper response should be, yeah, sure, come on in, leave your guns outside. Other than that, come in, take pictures if you want to, don't really care. Cool, they go in, take pictures and leave. But then you wouldn't have a movie, right? Also, Sam Worthington, I don't know who was in charge of sending him on the mission. Because he's just kind of a loose cannon from the very beginning. Mila Jovovich is trying to be kind of respectful and, hey, let's, talk this out. Let's make this mutually beneficial for both of us. Meanwhile, at every turn, Sam Worthington's character is trying to just ruin everything by being an a-hole, to which Jennifer Hudson's like, oh, definitely now you're not coming in. It was like, I don't know who decided that having him there was a great idea. This is, yeah, pretty much a post-apocalyptic action movie. Kind of fun for the most part, but I'd see this just getting raked over the coals as far as reviews go. And I kind of get that. I think I had a lot more fun than most people did with this, at least thus far. And I think some people definitely can. But yeah, if you've seen Mila Jovovich movies before, I think this is probably one of her better ones, but that's not a high bar to clear. But yeah, I dug this one. I'm not sure everyone will. So.
On a Reddit thread, there's a Reddit review. It says, in a world where there's no breathable air, they still find a way to bore the crap out of you with an excellent cast. So it's a boring, Eric, is it boring?
No, definitely not. Like, if you don't, because like, okay, so certain characters do things that are just kind of like, why would a character do that? And doesn't make sense. But it definitely wasn't boring. Like, I could see like, oh, the writing wasn't there, or the characters were doing bonehead things. Like, if that's what it is, fine, fair play. I get that. Boring, definitely not.
Okay, so Breathe, you ended up enjoying the movie. What is your final rating on Breathe?
Between three and a half. I think, you know what? I think I'll go 3.5 on this. If you like Mila Jovovich movies, this is probably, in my opinion, this is one of her better ones. If you just in general don't like her type of movies, this might be one to stay away from. Like the Resident Evil movies, those are pretty bad for the most part. This is like a good version of that. But if you like the Resident Evil movies, this will be another one of those type of movies that I think you'd have fun with. If you hate those movies, stay away from this one because it probably won't be your cup of tea. But otherwise, I had fun with it. I think it's pretty good.
Okay, that's Eric Holmes's review of Breathe. Again, opens April 26 in theaters as well as on digital. Before closing out this episode, we have a couple of recommendations from Bruce Perky. I have a recommendation, and it's just Abigail. I'm just gonna go. Everyone knows what Abigail is. I enjoyed it. I paid money to see it over the weekend. 4.5 stars for me. Just a fun movie. Just again, fun action thriller horror thing. And my only complaint is because of the trailers, you actually know what Abigail is. And I understand that they're trying to bring a lot of people into the box office and to the theaters to know what Abigail is. So for anyone listening who has not seen the trailer, because I know Bruce Perky, you're one of those people, a few people who do not watch trailers, Abigail's a really fun movie. And I think if you don't know what the quote unquote twist is, most 9.9 out of 10 people know what the twist is. Sorry, look at the balloons when I did that. That's a weird thing that with the zoom.
That
Yeah, that isn't weird. Let me try that
mine's not
again.
doing it.
It's weird. Anyways, Abigail, if you haven't seen, if you're looking for a fun horror thriller with a little bit of comedy, go check it out this weekend, Abigail. Bruce, what do you have for recommendations for people who want to stay at home and watch stuff?
A couple streaming series. One that I've seen in advertised to me for years that I just never got around to watching, and that was The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. If you have Prime, at some point you've probably seen the little icon or the little photo of her up there. I just thought this is going to be kind of a boring period piece about, I don't know, an entertainer or something, and it is a period piece. This is, as a quick selling point for me, it has the aesthetic and the age and the era of like Mad Men with a lot more fun and a lot more humor. And also it has that heart and that likability that you get in something like Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. The basic conceit is this. It's kind of takes place, it starts out in the early or late 50s. The whole series goes to, and it's, you can watch the whole series now if you want to. The whole series goes until about the mid 60s with a few flash forwards and flashbacks, but in general, it goes from like 58 to 63, something like that. And Mrs. Maisel, at the beginning of it, the very first episode, she's married. Her husband, you know, it's like the classic 50s thing, right? She's upper, you know, class, Betty Crocker type. She's in a Jewish family. She's living. She has two kids. Everything's perfect. She's dressed to the nines. Her husband's doing the business stuff. But in the weekends, he likes to go down and he likes to try doing a stand up at the open mic at a like a village, you know, in the village. You know, he puts on his turtleneck for that one night to go do a sequence of comedy. He's not very good. By the end of the first episode, it comes out that he's been having an affair. He leaves. I'm leaving. I'm out. I'm out of this. And she's crushed. Her whole world's fallen down. And in a fit of rage and frustration and drunkenness, she goes back down to that place that they always go down to, drunkenly gets on the stage that night and basically speaks truth, speaks what's happening in her life. And she's a natural, like a natural conversational stand-up comic. And from that point forward, and she gets arrested that very first night. and wakes up in a jail cell. I think she gets bailed out or wakes up near Lenny Bruce. She's at the beginning of Lenny Bruce's career too. Each season, Lenny Bruce will come in like maybe half an episode. So there's kind of this ongoing thing. This movie or this series is just wonderful. Super great humor. The main star of it is Rachel Brosnahan. Susie Alex Borstein is her manager slash just lady who worked at the place where she did her first stand-up and is trying to get her into the business. And then you also have Tony Shalhoub and Kevin Pollak and Jane Lynch and all kinds of great people coming to this. There are production numbers that rival the best musicals from that era. Amazingly beautiful production numbers. If you've got a significant other or a mom, Greg, that hasn't seen this, I'm guessing your mom might have watched the whole thing. If she hasn't, she should.
Oh, really? Well, also, I did watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel back in 2017 when it started. I did wa start watching it. So I'm actually probably, I don't know how many episodes per season, but I
About
did.
eight.
Okay. So I think I actually almost finished first season and I really liked it. And then as you guys know, with the cinematic schedule, I go, oh, I'll get around to it. I'll get around. 7 years later, right? 6 years later, I did actually screw the pooch a little bit because
Ugh.
I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean
Oh,
that.
it's a
Sorry.
family
Sorry.
show.
Family show. Very good. Very good. The final episode of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Here's the good news. Take Bruce's recommendation. He's actually seen all the episodes. And your review is pretty much on point from what I was seeing. I just know the rest of the series is going to be good. I saw that final episode, and I think it's just one of the best finales I've ever seen. And I think it rivals the ending. You mentioned Mad Men. It rivals the or equals the ending of Mad Men.
To me, it's more satisfying because her character arc, there are arcs each season. There is like a major conceit each season. But the biggest thing I think that goes with this over Mad Men is Mad Men is kind of the end of the bro culture and leading into the counterculture 60s, basically. This is, what is it like to be a woman in that era? She's a woman trying to be a comedian. And what does all of that entail? And what is the difference of success? And you get to see her in all different formats of that. But it's never preachy. It's always just snappy and fun and funny and like beautiful and just it has heart. It's just got everything. And production values up crazy production
And
values.
Brosnahan, I'm sure she won an Emmy or something for
She has
that.
to have.
She
I
has to
would.
have.
And Alex
She's a natural
Borstein,
comic. Yeah.
if you don't know who Alex Borstein is, Alex Borstein, if you ever watched Mad TV, she was in that and you would never think that she had this in her. And when you see it in here, she hasn't. She is essentially the co-star. She is it's their relationship from tiny little club in the village all the way to wherever they end up.
And it's very resonant, very touching as
It's
well.
great.
It's
It's
so many, it
fantastic.
hits all the bases. I'm assuming this is pretty much a 5-star
It
rating for
is.
you.
It's a five star. It's a 5-star series. And I can't say that about many series that have been more than one season. So I would say
And you said
beautiful.
it ends like it's
It's
done
done. It's
and it
done.
ended well.
Ended great.
Yes.
It
How
ended.
many TV series can you say that? I could probably The Shield's the only one I can think of.
The Shield,
Breaking
that's a
Bad.
great. And well, you've never seen this, Eric, but this is a show that is
Glow is
tangibly.
getting there, but they canceled it before they could, so
Well, Eric, this is a show that actually you would love. Justified is another show that ends amazing. And if you saw it, Eric, you would flip for it because you like
yeah.
Walton. You like Goggins, right? You like Walter.
Oh, I love him.
And you because you loved him in The Shield,
Yeah.
right? Yeah, Justified is a movie that's just a
I loved
no-brainer.
him in Sons of Anarchy too.
Okay, so yeah,
Yeah.
so right. So, by the way,
But yeah,
Justified.
his character at the end of the Shield, oh,
Yes,
that
very,
went
very.
dark.
Yeah, went very dark. Now, before we
Marvelous Mrs.
go,
Maisel, not dark.
no,
Okay.
this is not dark. This is not
But
a yes. Sorry,
quick
please.
review. Give me a quick review on Baby Reindeer.
Of course, yeah, definitely.
Very dark. One of the bleakest, darkest shows I've ever seen.
Sold.
Look, it says
Sold.
here, limited series, Netflix, Baby Reindeer. What would you give it? And what people should see Baby Reindeer? Who should see this movie? This
Sounds like
series.
they shouldn't.
People who love really surprising, really honest drama should watch it. I'll give you the basic conceit of this series. It's a limited series. I think it's six or seven episodes, I forget. And that's it. It's done. One and done. One series
Like
done.
the like what they did with that Dahmer.
Yeah, but it's not Dumber, but yes.
Well, I mean, same concept. Like this is the story just spread out into however many episodes.
Look, quote, dealing with a female stalker, a man is forced to face a dark, buried trauma. I don't know if I could get through this series. How did
So.
you? Well, look, it says it's the most searched movie show available on Netflix. Why, Bruce?
Okay, Richard Gadd is the director, writer, and star. He plays Donnie Dunn, and there's Martha, played by Jessica Gruning. Gruning, I think I said it right. Gruning. So Richard Gadd, this is based on his one-man show that he did originally on the Fringe Festival. If you know the Fringe Festival in, I believe, in Scotland, and then it got really popular there, and it went down, I think, to a bigger release down in London, and then turned into the series. This is based on his real life. Now, if you
Oh,
watch the
shit.
series, you'll be like, holy crap, this is based on his real life. He stars in it. He directs it. The basic concept is this. It starts out, he's working at a bar. This woman comes in. He's a comedian too, but he works in the bar to make money on the side. He's not a very successful comedian. She comes in. She wants some tea. She doesn't have enough money. And he feels sorry for her. And he's like, you know what? It's on me. He gets her the tea. And then she proceeds to become obsessed with him. His quote, number one fan, essentially. And he doesn't have very many fans because he's not very good. His number one fan. And I will just say, it goes. And you think this is going to be a series about a psychological thriller, right? About a man who's being stalked and how he's going to, what's going to happen? Is he going to get out of it? Is he going to get killed? Is he going to have to kill her? Is he going to get the cops to help him, or what's going to go on? It took turns I never would expect it into some extremely uncomfortable and surprising and emotional and heartfelt and dark. Dark, dark places that you would not expect. And then when you go like, this is his real life to some degree, mind blowing.
Real, so did you ever think while you're watching this, why would he even share this? It got because it was so
Yes. And
dumb.
that's part of why it became so famous because, and I won't tell you how,
Right.
there's an episode that deals with what he really shared, what happened to him, and then what really he really shared. And what he really shared became notable and is reenacted in this. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Unbelievable. So just final thoughts and rating on. I can't believe I'm missing this show already. Eric, you and I need
It's
to stop watching movies for a week. Maybe we'll watch Baby Reindeer to rewind.
I'm sorry. I checked out. I stopped listening. I was
Fair.
already sold once he said
That's
dark. I
absolutely
was
fair.
like, don't know what it is. I'm just
I
gonna
mean,
not listen to Bruce and I'm just gonna watch it.
it's such a rough watch though. It's not easy watch, but I'm God, I tell you, when it takes a turn, I would say about, I mean, it takes turns all the way throughout, but there's an episode where it basically flashes back several years that leads up to where he got to. And that episode recontextualizes everything you've seen. And then it just, from there on, you're just like, holy moly, this is something.
This might be one of the better things you've seen on Netflix. That'd be the way you're talking about it. See? I
Yeah,
mean,
it's a obviously a British production, so it's, I mean, turn on
true.
the subtitles. But I do love that about the British productions. They have no problem having four episode seasons or one season of six or whatever. They just make it how long it needs to be, and I really appreciate that. And it also makes the stakes really interesting because other than you know he's alive because he's starring in this, right? So you know he doesn't get killed. That's the one thing you know. That's unless you know the story of it, which I knew nothing about it until after the fact. I didn't even know it was a true story until after the fact. I didn't even know it was a true story. And then I saw someone post a video saying, "What's the real story behind Baby Reindeer?" And I was like, "What? Oh no!" So yeah.
Did you okay? So you had an initial rating when you finished this. Did the rating either increase or just appreciation? Did you appreciate it deeper once you realized it was a true story?
I think I keep it the same. I think I'm still 4.5, only because it's so tough at some points. This is not like happy-go-lucky watch. This is the reverse of the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. But if it sounds like it's your cup of tea, it might be worth a try because there's some stuff in here that's just something, I tell you.
I really don't know if I want to watch it. I'm sweating right now, and I see Eric Holmes. He's licking his chops like friggin' James Woods looking at friggin'
But
the television at the
this
Videodrome.
is,
I don't know what he's doing, right?
but I also say, warning, warning, warning. This is not like violent, gross kind of stuff. It's just emotionally scarring kind of stuff. So I'm warning, warning, warning people.
The weird thing is,
You mad at me.
like after talking about the coffee table last week and the
I
actually
missed it.
you guys talked about the lie. I've since seen it. I'm kind of. Like once you said like dark, bleak or whatever, I'm kind of craving that. I don't know why. But
All
like
right.
I want that feeling that I got watching Coffee Table for the first time.
I will give you one ray of sunshine. First of
I
all,
don't want a ray of sunshine. That's what I'm getting at.
I
Never
want to
mind then.
hear it.
I'll
I
leave it
want
at
to hear
that.
it, right?
I just want to stew in like the, oh, it's so depressing. And I kind of want to stew in that for a while.
There is
So,
definitely a lot of humor in this. I mean, because there's awkward
really?
humor, especially awkward humor. There's a lot of humor in this. And I do believe it has the perfect ending. Like, it
Okay.
is the perfect full circle ending. I'll just leave it at that. And there may be a ray of hope at the end. I'm saying a sliver of hope.
Don't want any hope whatsoever. Get hope, get out of here. We don't want you.
there's not a lot,
Well,
but there's.
we're gonna hope for another week here on Cinematics as Bruce Perky
No,
takes out.
cinematics is over. We're all doomed and we're all going to hell.
We are no, we're not going to hell. We're going to someplace in the box where Bruce Perky is going to find a
Oh,
movie in the
yeah,
box to peck because we
after
are done
that,
with our.
it's
This was our
only could be
hellish.
ahead. It could
This
only
was
be
our
ahead in the
hellish week,
box after
folks.
that.
We did Patreon. We did this. We've been recording for the last 10 hours, so we're really tired, folks. Right, Eric Holmes, you
Yeah, we're
dark
like
individual.
Chris Farley in the basement drinking Jolt Cola and eating No-Dos.
Oh,
Coming up is Matt
okay.
Foley.
I'm really
Everybody.
excited to see this. I don't know if I'll be able to
Yes.
find it, so hopefully I can find it. So this will be one of
Okay.
those. If you hear this and you know where it's at, and it may be available now, but it's been hard to get hold of. It's called Ghost Watch.
Ghost
It's
Watch.
actually a single episode of TV, British TV in the 90s, I believe, directed by Scott Mann, I believe. And I think that Late Night with the Devil is essentially kind of based on this.
Oh, okay. Okay, it's
Horror
available.
mystery.
It stars the Leslie Manning. It's in 1992 from UK. It
That
is
sounds about right.
available. Yeah,
It's
it's
only
available.
about 60, 70 minutes long, if I remember correctly, too. It's not very long.
Okay. All right. I'm so excited. Okay. I think
Yeah,
that's
if
it.
it's the, does it say a year?
Yeah, 1992.
92.
Oh
All
yeah,
right,
there's a
92.
bunch of them. They
Okay,
got
so we're good.
streaming on AMC, Shudder, it looks like, Amazon. Yeah, a bunch of
Okay.
places.
It
All
maybe
right.
got maybe it got revived. I know for a while it was really hard to come across. So
Right, folks, we will be
It's a weird
doing
thing about
a
streaming. It does that. It comes and goes.
it
It's
comes and
amorphous.
goes. Well, we'll see what happens next week for Ghost Watch. Bruce Perky will be watching it, and possibly I'll give it a shot too. I don't know if Eric Holmes will be here for next week because he might be down in the depths with that move with that baby. He might be baby reindeer all over. You're gonna have all that darkness with you. I don't know if you're gonna be so well. There's not gonna be enough light for you to actually log into Zoom next week. We'll see, Eric Holmes, how you
Gonna
feel.
go into the thick pit of depression and gonna bring it to the show next week. So
Good job, Bruce, on that
get ready for
recommendation. That really defends our cinematics feature. All right, final thoughts, Eric Holmes. You don't have any final thoughts, right? Just, the horror.
You know what? The trailer's been out there, and we're not covering it next week. I believe we're covering it the week after.
Yes.
But Last Stop in Yuma County comes out May 10th. We'll cover it in a couple weeks, but get excited.
All right. And
Just
there's
get
a
excited. I'll leave it at that.
should can you is should we get excited for a movie starring Viggo Mortensen and Vicky Creeps by the end of May, May 31st? Because you can it's embargoed, but there have been reactions and reviews. Can people get excited
So
for that Western?
I haven't watched that yet,
Oh.
but it looks good.
Okay.
It looks good. So, well, yeah. I
Speaking
look
of
forward to that as well. Is that next week or is that the week
It's
after?
May 31st, so we have like
Oh,
four more
okay.
weeks. Like a month.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking and looking good, Bruce Perky, final thoughts. Are you feeling better? Did this
Not
heal
feeling
you?
good,
Did
maybe.
this 2 hours of cinema talk heal your allergies and cold? Are
No,
you?
not at all. Probably can hear it in my voice. My final words are for anyone who watches Baby Reindeer in the future, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Don't blame me. I warned you.
On that chilling note, we'll see you next week here on Cinematics. And of course, here's Claire.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for joining Cinematics.